We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. It's a trash Tuesday to you. And I'd like to know what or who is trashing or bugging you, rather. Who do you want to trash? We'll do that coming up here on the show in 20 minutes. We'll deliver our trashes, but I want to hear your trashes as well. So dial me up with what's bugging you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll do our trashes, like I said, in 20 minutes, and in 40 minutes, Canadian bacon. And in fact, we lead off this hour with a trash, as Upside Down Mike tweets, I am trashing whatever doppelganger Islanders team last night was there, because that was not the Isles that I know and love. Remember that absolute beatdown and still play with a chip. Return the favor. I'm not having a good time. Still, let's go, Islanders! That's your Trash Tuesday from Upside Down Mike.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
Last night was an annihilation by the Lightning, as Tampa Bay moves to within one game of the Stanley Cup Final. For the second year in a row, the defending Stanley Cup champs beat down the Islanders 8-0. Now this morning, Schwartz is feeling the pain. Unless, of course, the Islanders decide to commemorate last night's game with some type of 8-0 free t-shirt, in which case he'd be really happy about that. But short of that, oh, this is a bad morning for Islanders fans. 8-0 yesterday. 8-0. We'll get to this as part of Canadian Bacon coming up here on the show in a little less than 40 minutes from now. A note on Terrell Davis. So TD was talking to CBS Sports about those 90s Broncos teams, his back-to-back teams, and had mentioned that he felt like they were the Patriots before the Patriots, with some under-the-radar talent and players that kind of came together without ego and went back-to-back. As I was mentioning, the last back-to-back Super Bowl champions, last repeat Super Bowl champions, were the 03-04 Pats. It has not happened in nearly 20 years. But before that, it had happened just a couple of years earlier, the 97-98 Broncos. That Broncos roster, think about where they found talent from. Terrell Davis was a sixth-round pick, trying to make the team in the preseason by playing special teams. Rod Smith, undrafted. Ed McCaffrey, journeyman. Shannon Sharp, 7th round pick. Fullback Howard Griffith, he regularly joins us from the Big Ten Network, 9th round pick. Mark Schlereth, 10th round pick. Tom Nalen, 7th round pick. That's their offense. That's an offense that was as explosive as they came in 97 and 98. Of course, John Elway was John Elway, at least in name. By the end of his career, he clearly was not putting up the numbers that he used to put up. But think about all of that talent. Smith undrafted. Griffith, 9th round pick. There's not even 9 rounds anymore. Schlereth, 10th round pick. There's not 10 rounds anymore. Shannon Sharp, 7th round pick, future Hall of Famer. Pretty amazing. So I think that's an interesting comp that TD brings up. And I think that it's fair that they were finding tons of talent in very non-traditional places, much like the Patriots, and putting it all together. And then that first year in 97, make it a run out of the wild card position, which is a rarity, something that the Patriots had never done, never ended up doing. But I think it's an interesting comp. Also, in talking about that John Elway, Tom Brady comparison, not perfect, obviously, because Brady at the time when they first started winning championships was a 6th rounder, of course, and John Elway was a soon-to-be Hall of Famer. But Tom Brady would become one of the greats of all time, and John Elway certainly is in that conversation as well. When asked about whether those Broncos teams could defeat this defending Super Bowl champion, the Bucs, TD said, if we played in today's game, absolutely we would have beaten the Buccaneers last year. He's right. He's absolutely right. I don't think that 98 Broncos team gets the historical credit it deserves for most people. I think NFL historians might understand it, but we're in such a Johnny-come-lately, what-have-you-done-for-me-recently society that people tend to forget even something that happened late 90s. That Broncos team coming off of 97 was thoroughly dominant in every way and could have and probably should have been undefeated. Now, by not going undefeated, they began to restart their motors. And they'll say that, you know, having won the championship in 97, being at the apex of our powers in 98, I mean, they were even winning games with Bubby Brister at the helm when Elway was injured. They needed a couple of losses late in the season because the chase for undefeated was also starting to weigh on them, combined with trying to repeat. And it kind of cleared the deck and cleared the air for them to lose to that Giants team and then lose to that Dolphins team. And then they just, there was hell to pay for everybody else in 98 in the playoffs. And then the Super Bowl, that was the Dirty Birds Falcons team. Look, we all wanted to see Broncos and Falcons that year, that Broncos and Vikings rather. The Vikings were 15-1. The Broncos were historically great. That Super Bowl we were robbed of. But that Broncos team was historically great, and this Buccaneers team was not. This Buccaneers team found a next gear when it mattered, and all the credit in the world for their playoff run. They beat good teams and great quarterbacks. But that 98 Broncos team was historically great. That's a top 10 team of all time. This Buccaneers team was not. So Terrell Davis is right. That 98 Broncos team would have beaten this night, this 2020 Buccaneers team. Yesterday, an interesting moment in the NFL, and I actually think that that's the nicest thing I could say, that it was interesting, because you had the first ever active NFL player openly announce that he is gay. Now, we had Michael Sam, and Michael Sam was openly gay, but Michael Sam was never on an active roster in a football game. You know, he was drafted by the Rams, but he did not end up playing in a regular season game. And so this announcement is historic in many ways. This is Carl Nassib, who's a defensive end for the Las Vegas Raiders, and a guy who gets regular time and plays a lot of snaps and is definitely going to be on the field this September for the Raiders. Here is Carl Nassib yesterday.
What's up, people? I'm Carl Nassib. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest. I really have the best life. I got the best family, friends, and job a guy could ask for. I'm a pretty private person, so I hope you guys know that I'm really not doing this for attention. I just think that representation and visibility are so important. I actually hope that, like, one day videos like this and the whole coming out process are just not necessary. But until then, you know, I'm going to do my best and do my part to cultivate a culture that's accepting, that's compassionate. And I'm going to start by donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project. They're an incredible organization. They're the number one suicide prevention service for LGBTQ youth in America. And they're truly doing incredible things. And I'm very excited to be a part of it, to help in any way that I can. And I'm really pumped to see what the future holds.
Carl Nassib had recently signed a big deal with the Raiders last year, a three-year, $25 million deal as a free agent with nearly $17 million guaranteed. So Carl Nassib is going to become the first ever active gay player in the NFL that plays in an NFL game. As I mentioned, Michael Sam never played in an NFL game. Now, Michael Sam came out back in 2014, so we are now 7 years removed from that. And here's why I think yesterday was big, and then in some ways not big. I think it's big just because, as Nassib says, representation's important for children. Children, youth, and I think people by and large, but certainly when you are developing yourself and your life and your identity and your goals, it is supremely important to see somebody or hear somebody that you can relate to. It makes you feel not alone. And people in America, and people across the world certainly, but certainly here in the U.S., deal with loneliness and isolation a lot. As connected as we are with social media, the internet, and technology, a lot of people just feel alone a lot of the time. And you know when you feel the most alone usually? When you're a kid. When you're a kid, because you're not an adult yet. You can't do adult things yet. Kids can be really brutal. You can't really speak your mind authentically yet because you're not quite mature enough yet, and you're going through who you will become. I know there was a lot of pockets of my life that I felt very lonely as a child, even though I had wonderful friends and an incredibly loving family and a brother and sister, but I always at times felt, boy, does anybody feel like me? Do they sound like me? Do they think like me? And I just think that that's important. And as young people grapple with coming out and internal feelings and all the types of things that young people that have to try to wrestle with their identity, whether, you know, you are heterosexual, homosexual, whether you are a certain ethnicity, religion, race, creed, whatever that is, it just is important to see or hear somebody that you feel you can relate to because you feel lonely a lot. That's the first part. That what Carl Nassib did yesterday was A, giving young people who are looking for somebody to relate to, just somebody to do that with. You could only imagine a high school football player or a JV football player or even a collegiate football player looking at an NFL player that says this, and they are feeling the same things and perhaps worried about how people might feel or think or what have you, and seeing this and just being like, whoa, there's somebody like me in the NFL. I just think that that's so, so important. And I also think that what Carl Nassib said of, you know, let's make this a positive, I'm going to dedicate money to the Trevor Project, which helps young people know that there is a place for them and a safe place for them, is of incredible importance. And that is taking your platform and that is using it to help the next generation. And who couldn't appreciate that? I mean, to me, that's everything, really. Here's where I think it's unimportant, which is great. 7 years ago, the Michael Sam thing kind of blows people's heads, some people's heads back, and there's a huge conversation, and Michael Sam is this kind of epicenter of sports conversation and this intersection of culture. Even just 7 years later, Carl Nassib is not really that. It's an announcement. It's a story. It's not what Michael Sam was. And when Carl Nassib says in that video, I hope that in the future there doesn't have to be an announcement, there absolutely won't be, because we've already seen a growth from Sam to Nassib in 7 years. And 7 years from now is going to be different as well. So Nassib doesn't have to hope. It's going to happen. It's already happening. The evidence is happening. And the other thing is, people that get squirrely about this type of stuff, people that get uncomfortable because of religious beliefs or personal beliefs, should note that it has nothing to do with football players or football locker rooms or anything like that. It has to do with us as the audience. And that's a shame, because there's been gay players in the NFL for a long time and their teammates knew and it didn't matter. Carl Banks, when the Michael Sam thing was going on, was a member of two Super Bowl teams for the New York Giants and said, we had two openly gay players in the locker room. And everybody knew it. And it was not a thing. It did not matter. It didn't matter. Now, this is the 80s. That's 35 years ago. It didn't matter. You can go back before that. You can go back to Vince Lombardi in the 60s, who was very supportive of the gay community because he had a gay brother. And you think now, you think modern players care about that? They don't. That one of their teammates might be gay or is gay. They didn't care then. They don't care now. Can you ball? Can you help us win? It's all that matters. It's really, and it sounds very Pollyanna, but it's true. They just don't care. Unfortunately, the audience cares, and there's people out there that will judge a lifestyle, which is unfortunate, but they don't care. And so when Carl Nassib makes this announcement, and probably all of his teammates knew already, maybe some of them didn't, but probably all of them knew, but you know, you got to make an announcement for the public, for us, which is just not going to become a thing very soon, because this wasn't that big a deal as it is. And that's important. It's just important to remember that young people are looking for other people to emulate or to relate to, so that they feel like what they're going through internally is not alone. And NASA provides that. And that's just the most important thing. And that's why putting people in position of influence or power or have voices that are not traditionally put in those positions is really, really important, because it just creates an identifier. And it just creates a, oh, I could do that, or I'm like that. And it gives you a little bit more confidence, a little bit more stability, a little bit more, oh, I belong. That's all. That's all that sometimes is needed to change everything. The, oh, I belong too. You know, and it doesn't matter about sexual orientation or age or ethnicity or gender. That stuff doesn't ultimately matter, as we all know. Unfortunately, some of us are taught that that matters, but it doesn't. What matters is finding a place that you belong. That's really the only thing that matters, to not feel isolated and alone, no matter what you're going through, whether it's an addiction, whether it's something internally that you're dealing with, whether it's a mental illness, whether it's a health illness, whether it's an identifier, whether it's something with your family or your career or your job or a preference or something like that, a life decision. All that matters is finding a place where you belong, no matter where that is, no matter what that is, as long as that is a healthy outlet, that you're not harming other people. That's really the only thing in life that is of the utmost importance. And so Carl Nassib and others like him providing that type of place is just really important. So good stuff yesterday, positive steps forward, and Nassib is going to go back and just become a defensive end for the Raiders, and people are not really going to talk about it, and that's called progress. When we come back here on the show, Trash Tuesday. Who are you trashing? We take out our trashes next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
You can always listen to the show on SiriusXM Channel 206. You can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network, or you can stream us using the CBS Sports app or the Odyssey app. Both of those are free on your phone. The CBS Sports app or the Odyssey app. Listen to us there and stream us for free every single morning. Bogues, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
DA, I'm a kind person. I'm a responsible person. I believe that the planet... Thank you very much. I believe that the planet needs our help. I try to do as much as possible. I'm the lone recycling force in my house these days, so I'm very attentive to what's regular trash, what's recycling, and when it comes to plastic, in my neck of the woods, our garbage guys only recycle plastic cards with a little number one or number two inside that triangle. The problem is, on 9/10 of the things that have that little triangle symbol on them, especially if it's clear, I can't read what the dang number is. Is it a 1? Is it a 4? Is it a 2? Is it a 5? What is this? I gotta clean it. I turn it upside down. I have to look through it through the sunlight. This should be easier. This should be bigger. It should be in neon so guys like me can do our part to recycle, but instead they make it difficult, like they don't want me to recycle, so get them all out.
I like it. Trash them.
Luke, it's the trash compactor.
Another thing that I've noticed is we're trying to get rid of plastic straws. And that's a good idea. Plastic straws, really bad for the environment, really bad for the oceans, really bad for the fish and the sea life. So now we have these paper straws. Okay, but every time you take a paper straw and you sip any liquid through it, it just immediately fizzles apart and falls totally apart. So how we're not constructing a better paper straw is anybody's guess. I mean, we can develop like the greatest technology ever. We're working on flying cars these days and supersonic jets that go anywhere in the world in 4 hours, and your phone is a supercomputer, but we don't have a better plastic straw. But also, you know, there's that biodegradable pseudoplastic, which is like made out of corn, that you can get like plasticware, that's kind of brittle plastic-y type of thing, but it's actually made out of corn or biodegradable byproduct or something like that. Why don't we just make straws out of that? There is absolutely biodegradable product that you can make straws out of so that we don't have to have wet paper in our mouth as we sip on our drink. It's bizarre.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Plastic straw, paper straws are one of the worst things on the planet right now. I mean, they are. I'd rather not drink than drink through a paper straw. They're disgusting.
If you just have a paper straw, you're like, you know what? I'm just going to sip this right out of the glass. I don't even need this thing. Forget it. Unnecessary. Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
Well, DA, I am trashing the people. Let's start from the beginning. My son, Timothy, has a nice set of hair. He has better
really
hair
nice.
Than I ever had, and I'm very envious of it.
Yeah.
I'm trashing the people
as you should
that
be.
Take that hair and make Timmy into a female when they refer to him. They call him a she.
Thinking that
this is after times where I have said and my wife has said, this is Timothy, and people still call him a she, which boggles my mind. I don't think people are listening. I don't think people are paying attention. They're just looking at the hair and thinking Timmy is a female. Trashing them.
That will contribute to the microplastics in the bottom of the ocean.
So have you and Bridge discussed a different haircut so that Timmy is more identifiable as a boy?
No, we discussed putting Timmy in an outfit that he wore when he was first born that said, hello world, my name is Timothy. So I think we're going to buy a bunch of those outfits so people can realize, oh, hey, this is my son, not my daughter.
Yeah. That's a tough one. It's tough on young children, babies, infants, toddlers, when they have a great head of hair, you're right. And it could be either female or male. I mean, like, Timmy has way more hair than Taylor does. And so, you know, Taylor's probably very envious of Timmy's head of hair. How old is Timmy now?
Timmy just turned 10 months.
10 months. So this is going to be interesting. So have you given Timmy a haircut yet?
No, we're thinking right after maybe a year or a year and a half.
Yeah. And is there like a book on this, Bogues? Did you have to decide when to give your kids their first haircut?
No, I think this is just kind of up to you and your kid. I believe that there are some like religious practices where you can't get it done before
really?
The first year.
Wow.
I think so, yeah. So, but otherwise, I mean, it's just whether you think your kid can sit up straight and last in the chair. Like, we definitely waited probably to at least a year, but both of my kids had thinner... my daughter had a crazy, like, reverse mohawk thing going on for a while. She was obviously a girl. My son was obviously a boy, at least in terms of his hair. So we didn't have this problem. But I want to know the genetics of this, how we went from Pete and your infamous head, shaved by supermodels, by the way, to Timmy with these long locks. I mean, he looks like,
his hair's amazing.
Not Yanni. What's the other guy with the long dark hair and the mustache? Who am I thinking
Gallagher?
Of right now? I just
Yanni.
No, not Gallagher. Not
Gallagher.
Maybe it is Yanni, but either way, I mean, he's Yanni. Got beautiful hair. How is he yours, Pete?
Yeah. I have no idea. I've been trying to figure that out for the last 10 months.
Because Bridge has, is it red hair that Bridge is naturally, or is it kind of like sandy blonde?
No, it's like a dark, it's like a, I forgot the exact term. It's a brunette-ish type hair.
But it's light, and Timmy's yeah. hair is really dark. Was your hair when you were growing up really dark like Tim?
Yeah, I had dark curly hair.
I have a baby picture of Pete.
That.
It's amazing.
A little bit from her uncle. My grandfather had a big wave, so from other people in the family.
Let me tell you, Pete, you and Bridge are going down the same road my parents did. I was the oldest of three, so I was their first child, and they didn't cut my hair for like the first 3 years of my life. And you got to see pictures of me as a 3 year old. It is ridiculous. I look like a dark haired Ric Flair. I mean, it's just hair all over the place. It's like it's like a helmet of hair. It is so absurd. It just looks, I look like a Lego character where they just took a piece of a big hair, plastic hair off of somebody else's head and placed it on my head. And I look back, I'm like, you know, yeah, we had photos with Santa Claus and Macy's and this. And I'm like, what were you guys doing? They're like, you were the first kid. We were scared to cut your hair. You had such good hair. We were scared to cut it. I'm like, you don't have to be scared to cut babies' hairs. It'll grow back. I look like a complete moron for 3 years of my life.
We gotta get Papa Mendo to give us some of those pictures.
I got to find one of those pictures for you guys. I mean, and it was also the late 70s, early 80s. So you add that type of era into this hairstyle. I'm like, what were you guys doing? And of course, once it got to my brother and sister, they were right on point with cutting the hair. And, you know, as you know, folks, once you get to the second kid, it's like, oh, you know what? We don't have to worry about any of this anymore. You overthink kid one and kid two. It's like you can let them fall off cliffs. You're like, they'll be fine. Rub a little dirt on it. They'll be fine. We don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, they probably let you cut their hair as a toddler. Yeah. Just do your brother needs a trim, D.A. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Baby D.A., here's scissors. So yesterday I go on this amazing hike, right? This amazing, awesome hike. My brother's a big hiker as well, outdoors guy. So we find this awesome place that we're going to go. And there's like, you know, cliff sides and there's this beautiful mountain lake. And we're going to go to this lake. We're going to hike through the mountains. We did like a 4 mile hike in, a 4 mile hike out. And the payoff was going to this like swimming, this natural lake and this beautiful clear mountain lake. We're going to go swimming in that. And it was awesome. And it's a swimming area. So it's not just like, you know, middle of woods, nowhere. So there's a path there and it's a recreational area, but it's just gorgeous and it's silent and quiet and just totally serene. And so I love to get away and do things like this in the outdoors. Anybody that's been outside hunting or fishing or hiking knows this feeling where you just hear nothing and it's the best thing ever. Just nothing is the sound of gold is nothing. And we're out there and we're at this beautiful, serene lake and nobody's talking. There's only two other people there on this kind of like rock formation where the lake is. And you're looking at this beautiful water and the beautiful sky and birds are chirping. And there's nobody saying anything. And my brother and I clearly are just like, okay, this is quiet time. Everybody just wants to be quiet. There's a couple of bikers that come by on their bicycles and they're silent as well. There's a couple of ducks there. And then from like 100 yards away, there's four boys around the age of 16 or 17, and they're already loud. I mean, just really super loud from down the path. You're like, oh, here we go. And then they get there, they get louder and louder and louder. And then it's go in the water and it's yelling and it's so cold and get in the water and oh my goodness, it's so cold and stop splashing me and it's cursing at one another and it's just like you didn't notice that the other six people here were completely silent and they're looking at you like you just broke every code of nature. You're like, you're not noticing this and it's pushing each other and horseplaying. You're like, Where do you think you are? This isn't Coney Island. There's nobody else around. It's everything is perfectly silent, and you've got to be the four jabronis that have to just, you know, have your own WrestleMania in the water. Like, guys, a little self-awareness, just a tiny bit. Trash of
this must be garbage time.
Other trash is coming in on Twitter. Rob tweets, I'm trashing the person in the blue Mitsubishi whose license plate read Crikey as she was recording a TikTok video while driving. I rolled my window down and told her, just bleeping drive, you idiot, and she looked stunned to a news. Trasher.
I smell rotten eggs.
Drenzito tweets, I'm trashing people driving around with their fog lights on when it's not foggy. Hey, losers, nobody cares about your stupid fog lights that your car has. Trash them, D.A.
Total wasteoid.
Daryl tweets, I'm trashing the lady at the store a couple of days ago that handed the cashier money that she pulled out from her bra. No one needs your boob sweat-drenched dollars. Carry a wallet like Pete the Body. Hashtag Sweaty Betty. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
Overflowing landfill.
I'm telling you, I feel the same way when people stick their phones in their body, their bra, their waistline, their spandex. They stick their dollars in there. They stick their credit cards in there. Like, ew. Just have something on your person that you could just put something in. The phone, the credit card, the debit card, the cash. Can you help us out here just a little bit? Send us your trashes, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. We're on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. We'll continue doing Trash Tuesdays, but standing by with our headlines this morning is a kind sir, Andrew Bogus. JB, what do we got?
We got headlines sponsored by Credit Karma Money. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. As we discussed last hour, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously against the NCAA yesterday. Not exactly, though, in terms of name, image, and likeness. Our highest courts of the NCAA cannot continue limiting education-related benefits for athletes. Conferences can still make their own rules, but the NCAA can't stop schools from enticing athletes with things like laptops, study abroad possibilities, and grad school scholarships. It is take two for the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. Still without Kawhi Leonard, they go for a split in Game 2 in Phoenix tonight. Paul George hoping they find their footing in this series.
This is a different caliber team than the other two teams we faced. A little bit more guard play. We got to figure out how to counter.
But if history holds, the Clips will be down 0-2 tomorrow morning. That's how they started against the Mavs and the Jazz. Chris Paul remains in COVID protocol, so he'll miss this game as well. The Hawks and Bucks begin the East Final tomorrow night. The Athletic says Becky Hammon is a finalist for the Blazers head coaching job. This will be the first time a woman has reached the final stage of an NBA coaching search. Chauncey Billups, Mike D'Antoni, Brent Barry among the reported competition. The Padres and Dodgers meeting again, this time in San Diego.
1-2, hammered. Absolutely crushed. Deep to left. Rex going back, looking up, gonna go. 3-run homer, Manny Machado. And the Padres have a 4-0 lead before Julio Urias has one out in the first inning.
That's Jesse Agler on Padres radio. Manny Machado's 3-run homer and Yu Darvish's 11 Ks getting San Diego a 6-2 win. They've taken 5 of 8 from L.A. so far this season. Keep thinking this is for first place in the NL West, but it's actually for second at the moment because the Dodgers are 2 games behind the Giants. San Diego is 4.5 behind San Francisco. The Diamondbacks beat the Brewers 5-1 last night, snapping their 17-game losing streak. A 6-game slot ends for the Rangers thanks to an 8-3 win over Oakland, and the Astros dumped the O's 10-2. That's an 8-game win streak for them. And checking on the College World Series in Omaha, NC State beat Vanderbilt last night 1-0 despite 15 Ks from Jack Leiter, Alisson, a projected top 5 pick this summer. D.A., back to you.
Coming up next, Canadian bacon, a beat down by the Lightning. Puns ahoy. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
The sizzle of the best goals.
Sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man.
The saltiness of the best games.
Because we're having a good time.
We crave the nightly action of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's a hockey, you know. It's only game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA Show.
I feel alive!
Lightning, Islanders, last night, Game 5, AB, Canadian Bacon, take it away.
DA, thanks so much, and once again, it is an honor to fill in for America's best fill-in host, Connor Green. A wise man once asked,
hey, if a Montreal falls on the Knights in the arena and the fans had already left, does it make a noise?
Does it make a noise? Today we ask, if 8 goals fall on the Islanders in a full arena, did they play a playoff game? Technically, they did last night in Tampa Bay. A gotta-have-it Game 5 with the Isles and Lightning knotted at 2 games all. Steven Stamkos, sing us a song. You're the man who scored 45 seconds into Game 5.
Puck is going to be played by Anthony Cirelli into the offensive zone. Let's go to Stamkos. Stamkos holds. High slot. Kalorin, a shot block. Rebound. Stamkos. Score! It came right to him! And he had an open net! 45 seconds in, it's 1-0 Lightning on the goal for Stamkos.
That, of course, is Dave Mishkin and Phil Esposito on Lightning Radio. Yanni Half Piano Half Pumpkin Gourd and Alex Candy Killorn also scored in the opening period, sending Semyon Varlam off the ice after 15 minutes. The Lightning a 3-0 lead after one. Stamkos and Candy Killorn scored again in the second with one in between from Andre Agassi-Pallat. That's a 6-0 advantage. My. The Fish Sticks hadn't allowed three goals in a period all season. Now they had in back-to-back frames. The onslaught continued early in the third.
They'll slide at left point to Stamkos. Kolases Kucherov in front. Point! Score! He has goals in 8 straight playoff games!
He has Sean's grammar skills. Braden Point, an 8-game goal streak. Nobody has scored like that since Pete was single. Luke Shen scored the final goal of the night, while
a tree named Andre Vasilevskiy
made 21 saves for his 4th career playoff shutout. Isles coach Trotz not Barry mad after the 8-0 embarrassment.
It was one of those nights where we couldn't do anything right. It didn't go our way, and it was a tough one. We'll just have to park it.
Did he say pipe it? The Islanders do have one concern heading towards Game 6 tomorrow night. The Bouncers escorted Matt Barzal out of this one in the second period after a vicious cross-check to the face of Jan Ruda. Maybe some extra punishment from the league for that. Game 6 at the Mausoleum tomorrow night, and that is Canadian bacon.
Oink, oink. Oink, oink.
Making it look so easy. So freaking easy. Pete the Body Bilotti. As we do America's Got Bacon, isn't it amazing that when Mraz does Canadian bacon, everything seems like it takes so much effort? Like every joke he spent 45 minutes thinking about and then needing to wind himself up to deliver it and then waiting for this giant flourish. And then, you know, as Bogues does it, it's just like rat-a-tat, tat, 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 tat. Joke, 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 highlight, joke, 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 highlight, joke, joke. It's like so effortless.
There's two keys here. One is the writing. It's legible and it flows. So that helps a lot, especially, you know, with a prominent anchor like Andrew. He knows how to lay it out on a sheet so he can read it really clean and crisp. And then it's also, he's not overthinking the puns. It just flows.
And
he's just letting it come to him instead of looking in the forest for puns.
That's right. He's letting the game come to him. Now, I specifically liked the Bouncers escorted Matt Barzal out of the game. That was excellent. Excellent. And we haven't seen scoring like this since Pete was single. That is an all-time line.
And that's a little bit of an Easter egg. That was a very consistent joke I used to make in one of the previous versions of this morning show. So I brought that one back. I can't. It might have been Feinstein. It might have been Gio and Jones. I don't remember anymore which it was when Pete was single. But I like to have that joke back in the day. It came up on Side B last week, so it was in my head to fire it up again this morning.
It's an elite joke. That's an excellent joke. I frankly liked Trotz was not Barry mad, or did you say he was Barry mad?
No, he was not Barry mad.
But shouldn't Barry Trotz have been Barry mad?
Well, that was the point. He wasn't that. He was just like, it was a loss. We were bad. We got to regroup and come back for game 6. And I believe Sean did. Most of these jokes were supposed to be hat tips and sarcasm towards Sean. I did think he used a Barry Trotz joke last week.
Oh, he definitely did. Yes. Definitely. Yeah, there was definitely the Barry mad. And it's amazing when Mraz delivers it's groan inducing. When you deliver it because Mraz did it to make fun of him, it somehow is really funny. I don't know.
The Islanders head coach, though, was Barry mad about the miss too many men on the ice that appeared to swing the momentum in this game.
Okay. This is the perfect encapsulation of Mraz doing Canadian bacon. Let's play this one more time and listen to my immediate audible groan when he does Barry mad.
The Islanders head coach, though, was Barry mad about the miss too many men on the ice that appeared to swing the momentum in this game.
It is so bold because it's so bad. I couldn't even believe he tried.
The miss too many men on the ice.
I forgot that noise sounds like the turtles having sex. We used to play for Andy Reid. That was the same noise.
Miss too many men on the ice.
Essentially, it was like I got punched in the stomach. I had lost all air. I'm like, oh, just all the life came out of me when I heard him do.
Miss too many men on the ice.
That's the noise.
Barry mad.
Miss too many men on the ice.
So if you were wondering how internally I feel when Merez does really bad puns, it sounds like the soul got ripped out of me and 100-year-old Galapagos tortoises are having sex.
Miss too many men on the ice.
In slow motion.
I don't want this to go unspoken. Semyon Varlam off the ice. They escorted him. Was that it? Varlam off the ice?
They sent him, say sent Varlam off the ice after just 15 minutes.
That's excellent. That is just excellent. And that is such a quick turn of phrase, but Mraz would have never come up with that. He just would have done something totally disastrous as the Lightning turned the on Semyon Varlam off switch back to on.
Exactly what it would be.
And then off as the lights in the arena. You're like, where are you going?
Is it dark?
Go on to make Winnipeg loser peg.
And then what was the Andre Agassi Palat reference?
Andre Agassi, but did
you write into
it
with a tennis?
He scored a goal last night. Nothing specific. Just was going to go Andre Giant, but then I realized that we came up last week, so I was just looking for another Andre, and Agassi popped in my head, but that was it. It was just to get Agassi in there. There's nothing, further tennis reference.
Okay. I thought maybe with your tennis background, there was going to be some type of foot fault reference or something that I missed in there.
No, I think just that Agassi was the second Andre I thought of is my tennis background. Okay. Like, you would have had Andre Rison, Andre Reed, some NFL Andre. I go to Agassi.
Oh, that was awesome. That's just a great Canadian bacon right there. Upside Down Mike tweets, thanks for the laughs, Andrew Bogish. This was the highlight of last night for me after that tough loss. An 8-0 absolute beatdown of the Islanders last night. And now the Lightning are a win away from their second consecutive Stanley Cup final. When we come back here on the DA Show, we roll right along on a Trash Tuesday. More of your trash is coming up here next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.